Welcome and thanks for tuning in to this Restoration Foursquare Church audio podcast for this Winning Women launch for the fall 2016 season. Today's teaching is entitled the following, Wiped Out by a Scrub Bucket. So prepare your hearts for an encouraging and challenging message from God. Enjoy and God bless.
How's everybody doing? So if it is your first time, I hope you'll come back. It's a little bit different, but I tell you, whatever he says, that's where we're going. Whatever he says to do, that's what we're doing. It's just that easy. So if things are a little different and new to you tonight, think about it, pray about it, because I'm telling you, he's in the house. Amen? Someone just came up to me and said, the Lord said, somebody needs to hear he is real. So somebody needs to write that down as their friendly reminder that he delivered that word for you tonight. Whatever that circumstance is that you're looking at, whatever it is that you're going through, he is Jehovah God. Amen? Amen? So a little boy opened up the family Bible. He was at his grandmother's house, and he opened it up, and he carefully is flipping through the pages. And he's just one at a time, he's looking, and then this little leaf fell out, and he's looking at it, and it was a leaf that had been pressed between the pages, and he said, Mommy, look, what is it? What have you got? He said, I have Adam's pants. You know that's funny. Lord, we love you so much. Father, we thank you tonight that you would come in this house, you would take center stage and take your place. Holy Spirit, we welcome you here. And I'm telling you, whichever direction you're going, I'm right behind you. Father, I ask that you would hide me behind your anointing and that you would give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Teach us, Holy Spirit. We ask that you would meander through these aisles tonight, touching your daughters, healing your daughters. We give you all the honor, glory, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen? Amen. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. And a man of Bethlehem of Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife and two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech. And the name of his wife, Naomi. And there were two sons, Machlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and they remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. They lived there about 10 years. Both Machlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. The story begins in Bethlehem in Judah. Now, the name Bethlehem means house of bread. The name Judah means praise. Well, at this particular time, neither of those names lived up to their name. There was no bread in the house, and there was surely nothing to praise. Amen? As a matter of fact, Judges 21:25 says, everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Basically, whatever you feel like, you do that. Whatever it is that you want to do, you just do that. Judges is considered to be one of the darkest books in the Bible. Confusion reigned. Wickedness surrounded. And there was a repeat cycle. Watch this. They did whatever they wanted to. They worshiped any way that they wanted to. They made decisions based on their desires and opinions. So there was a cycle. It was disobedience, defeat and distress, desperately crying out for God, and finally deliverance and peace. Disobedience, defeat and distress, desperately crying out for God, and then deliverance and peace. Have you ever experienced this cycle? Have you ever experienced, don't answer that, anybody else going through this cycle? Over and over and over. A couple of important facts that I want to remind you about. There was a famine in the land. Are you surprised that there was a famine in the land? When they were living any old way, worshiping any old way they want to, are you surprised that there's a famine in the land? Absolutely not. I believe that this famine is more of a reflection of the heart in the people than it is a statement about the government. Did you hear that? It's about a heart issue. We're introduced to a man named Elimelech. His name means, "My God is King." Really? I'm going to need you to buckle up tonight. I had someone recently tell me they didn't want to hear another story taught on Ruth. Why do you think I'm teaching on Ruth tonight? Because I'm convinced if you ever really heard a teaching on Ruth, you wouldn't say that. And we're about to go there. This husband, Elimelech, his name means, "My God is King." Elimelech had a wife, and her name was Naomi, meaning to be pleasant. I like that. And then there were two sons, Mahlon. When you look at the book of Ruth later, you're going to look at that and go, she mispronounced that. It actually is Mahlon. Mahlon. It means, are you ready? Weak and sick. Now, who names their son weak and sick? Because every time you speak that child's name, you're speaking a curse over that child. Be careful what you name your children. Right? So the first one's name was weak and sick. He's mentioned first. That is the indication that we know he is the oldest. Okay? Then the second one's name is Kilion. His name means failing or wasting away. Who names their kids that? Especially when his name means, "My God is King." We're told that Elimelech made a decision, and he made a decision to cross the Jordan with his family and lead them in to Moab. It was a decision he made. You know, some of you might say, wow, he was a leader. There was a famine in the land, and he picked himself up, and he's like, we're not going to die. We're not going to sit here and do nothing and just pass on away. He stood up, and he led his family into Moab. Don't fall for that. Let me tell you something about Elimelech. He did what was right in his own eyes. Did you hear that? He did what was right in his own eyes also. Elimelech. You can't do whatever you want to do without taking into consideration the God that you serve. And that is what he did. Do you really think that God could not feed his family in the middle of Bethlehem, in the middle of a famine? Is he not God? If he's God, then he is God. In the middle of your circumstance, is he not enough to show up in the middle of your mess? But let me tell you what our brother did. He packed up the kids. He packed up the wife. And he made a run for it. You know, when I think about Elimelech, I think about this. My God is King. If he is, then what did he say to you? If that is the God you serve and he is your King, what did he say to you? Did he tell you to pack up the kids and pack up your wife? You know, someone recently said to me, you know, God told me to go, and I thought he said move. Did you hear me? She said, we're packing everything up, trying to move. And God said, I didn't tell you to move. I told you to go. Yes. To me, that means a visit. Yes. What did he say in the middle of your mess? Because you know the word tells us we hear his voice. So that means he's speaking in the middle of your circumstance. Amen? You can't allow the crisis that you're walking through right now to cause you to turn away from the very thing that you know and make a run for it. But you see, he did that. We want to focus on Ruth, but I'm here to tell you we need to focus on Elimelech. There's something very important here. Watch this. There are lessons learned in the crucible. you don't want to be there because it's hot. But there are some things you can't learn any other way. Am I the only one? Some things can only be learned in the crucible. We're first told that Elimelech took his family and went to sojourn in the country of Moab. Now, I want to tell you what that word means. Sojourn means a temporary stay or for a season. You can't allow a temporary circumstance, watch this, to become a permanent fixture. It was meant to be temporary. We're told in verse 2 that they went into the country of Moab and they remained there. Now, what I want to tell you is we're first told that they sojourned there. That means temporary. It was supposed to be a little visit. And then right after that, we're told, Betty, we're told that they remained. Let me tell you something. Sometimes our temporary fix becomes the very thing that is our permanent destruction. It was supposed to be a day or two. Maybe it was supposed to be a week. And then that week turned into a month. And then that month turned into more than 10 years. And it says he was supposed to have a visit. That's not a visit. They remained. Let me show you what that word means. It means to exist or to become. Let me tell you. When they moved to Moab, they didn't just move into Moab. Moab moved into them. Did you hear me? They didn't just move in there. It moved into them. You can't toy with the things of the enemy. We don't know how far into sin this family fell. I do know, watch this, that they went in for a short time and Moab got into them. Before they knew it, 10 to 12 years had passed and they were further away from the Lord than they ever imagined they could go. That is a prime example of the deception of sin. You toy with it just a little bit. You think if I can just get on the edge just a little bit. And then before you know it, you're completely submerged. And that is where Elimelech found himself. Toying on the edges. But let me tell you, the enemy is way more sly than that. He's not going to make it that kind of plain. It's going to be a slow, subtle shift. Slow, subtle shift. You don't even recognize it till you're in. There's some people in this room tonight, Moab, you don't even know it yet. I'm about to make it plain. Happens all the time. Verse 3 tells us this. Soon after the family settled in Moab, Elimelech died. Now, we don't know if that was a week, a month, but it said soon. Died. And she was left with two sons. Now, Maclone, watch this. They married Moabite women. I'm going to talk about that in a second. Maclone is the oldest. He is the one that married Ruth. Now, these two girls that were married, by the way, when Elimelech made that decision and he died, his decision affected that family. He walked into the enemy's camp. That is what he did. He walked right on in like he owned it. And let me tell you, he took it over. And it did affect him, his wife, and his children. Our decisions always affect someone else. So Kilion married Orpah. Both girls grew up practicing that religion. And for 10 years, the Lord showed me this, and I had never seen it. For 10 years, there were no children. Now, in this time, if you didn't have children, that was evidence that the hand of God, the blessing of God, was not on you. 10 years. I'd never seen that before. 10 years. All because Daddy made a decision without asking Father God. 10 years. We're then told, this is very important, Amos 7 tells us this, to be buried in an unclean foreign land was considered, watch this, the ultimate punishment. I'd never seen that. the ultimate punishment. So I'm thinking about this wife. Y'all, I'm sorry for the sound. I don't know what's happening. So this wife buries her husband in an unclean land. And then we're told she buried her sons in an unclean land. Let me tell you about Moabite, the Moabites. They descended from an incestuous relationship between Lot and his oldest daughter. After the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now the Moabite worship, they worshiped a god called Chemosh. A lot of theologians believe that the god Molech of the Ammonites is the same god. It's vile. I want to tell you, they sacrificed children. I don't know if I can paint this picture ugly enough. They sacrificed children. The word Chemosh means the destroyer. Elimelech, my God, is king, loaded up his family and walked them straight into a land known as the destroyer. How do you get to that place, ladies? Psalm 60 and 8, write this down. Psalm 60 and 8 says this: Moab is my scrub bucket. Moab is my scrub bucket. Moab is my scrub bucket. I didn't know what that meant. Let me show you what it means. There's a bucket with clean water in it. And you know, few people wore shoes. If they did, they were sandals. But most, for the most part, folks were barefoot. And getting a little graphic, they were walking through donkey dung, okay? Filth. A scrub bucket, when I began to study that, it means the filthiest of the filth. God called Moab the filthiest of the filth. So I'm like, God, what is a scrub bucket? There was a bucket of clean water. And the folks would put their feet over it. They were slaves washing these feet. You didn't put your feet down in the water. You hung your feet over the water, and they would pour the water over. And all of the dirt, all of the filth would settle in that clean water. He said, the dirt off the bottom of your feet, the dirtiest of the dirt, that is Moab. The filthiest of the filth, that is Moab. God, my King. How do you get to that place? The phrase, Moab is my scrub bucket, it means a despised thing. A despised thing. So into this despised and wicked nation, Elimelech leads his family. Something I want to show you. When he did that, he gave up his inheritance. He gave up his inheritance, ladies. He gave up his birthright, his portion in the promised land. And he headed off to a land that God was not going to bless. Have y'all ever seen this? Where have I been? My eyes have been on Ruth. Because everybody teaches Ruth. And when that man said that to me, I'm like, there's got to be something here, Lord. It's not about Ruth, ladies, tonight. It's not about Ruth. It's about something else. It's about Elimelech. When he moved away, this is what he did. He denied, literally, it was the equivalent of denying the faith of God when he turned his back and headed to Moab. His family could no longer worship at the temple. They could not bring their first offerings. They couldn't keep the feast that they were commanded to by law. Are you hearing me? This sounds like hell to me. The separation. They were totally isolated from everything that stood for God. There were things he could have avoided, I believe, had he not led them right on in to Moab. Do you believe that? He intentionally, see, this is where I'm battling. Help me. He intentionally turned his back on God. He meant to do it. He knew what it meant to be a scrub bucket. Yet he did it anyway. How do you do that? How do you get to the place where you literally lead your children? Friends, he led his children into the filthiest of filth. Why? Because he had lost his faith, and I believe he had lost his trust. And let me tell you, that's a dangerous place to be. Because the minute you do that, you'll take matters in your own hands. Well, nobody in this room would do that. That's Elimelech. After studying and studying and studying, I'm like, God, what does this mean? He said to me this morning, it's not about Ruth. Wrecked me. I've been studying Ruth. He said, it's not about Ruth. Watch this. I said, what's wrong with Elimelech? How do you do that? And this is what he said. You ready? Backslide. What? He was backslidden. That is the only way you can turn your back on God. If you know him and you literally turn away and walk in the opposite direction, you've made a decision. That did not happen overnight, ladies. You didn't sneak off. He didn't come up this morning because you're mad at something that didn't go your way. This was a process. Sometimes your circumstance doesn't look like you want it to. That seed gets planted. You hear me? Bitterness sneaks in. It ain't about Ruth. I'm still talking about Elimelech. My God is king. Let me tell you what will happen the moment you make these kind of decisions. There's no way to be right with the Lord as long as you're separated from the things of God. There's no way to be right with God and be separated from the things of God. When his house, his word, his work, watch this, and his worship, when those things are not your priorities, it doesn't matter what your mouth says. Because your life says, I'm far from you, Lord. This is a hard word tonight, isn't it? But it's about Elimelech. If these things aren't your priority, if they're not on your radar until Sunday morning, and you don't pray till Sunday morning, you might need to do a little research on that word backslide. Okay, I'm gonna move on. But do you hear what I'm saying? He loved the Lord. We're told in verse 6 that she arose. He said, I got to stop this message right here because he said, it's not about Ruth. Your message tonight was supposed to be Ruth. But I'm here to tell you it's not about Ruth. It's about Elimelech. Why is it about Elimelech? I believe it's supposed to be a check. Do you believe that? I believe it's a check. I've never even studied that man. How far away do you have to get from God before you'll lead your children astray. Is it toying on the edge? Is it that first time God doesn't show up like you need him to? Is it that third time? Is it the fourth time where you go, you know what? You didn't heal me. You know what? You didn't heal my child. And you know what? I'm done. I remember teetering between this place of, God, I trust you completely, and I don't trust you at all. That's a real talk right there. So how do you make that decision to say, you know what? All hell is breaking loose right now, and I'm going to serve you regardless. I'm going to worship you regardless. I'm going to lift my hands regardless. Sometimes, and I believe this is the wake-up call of the night. It has been for me. Sometimes, God, you're my king. And you can still do the wrong thing. What? How do you do that? How did he go from God to, I'm going to do this my way? How far do you have to be pushed? Is it because we run rather than running into the very thing? Listen, when he run to Moab, the very help he was supposed to get, it was not going to be in Moab. You know why? Because God planted them in Bethlehem. They were obedient. His help was in Bethlehem. Are you following me? So when you do it your own way, how can you be mad at God when you do it your own way, when your help is somewhere else? Because they were obedient and stayed where he told them to. Yet we come over here doing whatever it is that we want to do. Elimelech, get over here and do whatever you want to do. Let me tell you something. When you sneak over into Moab, it's going to cost you something. When you choose Moab, let me tell you, you're going to leave something there. What did it cost him? His life? What did it cost? It cost him everything. It cost life. It cost the children. I believe it cost him eternally. What? When you open your heart up and you embrace, I'm telling you, and the enemy is always talking, is he not? Oh, well, you know what? He should have done this and that and the other thing. You know what? You're right. And then you're done. You're right. You're already in. You're already in Moab when you do it. And I'm telling you, it's not a far step. Being on the edge, if you're on the edge, you're already in. You don't have to be all the way in. You just got to be on the edge with your toes dangling off, and you're already in. And it doesn't take much. Somebody said to me recently, message is over. Somebody said to me recently, well, I got this job. And I took this job, and it was a raise, and I'm so excited, but I have to work on Sunday morning, so I'm not going to be able to come to church, and I have to work on Wednesday nights, and so I'm not going to be able to come to church. And I looked her square in the eyes, and I said, did you just tell me your marriage is falling apart? Wow. Yes, I did. And you just chose. You know, sometimes we have to hold people accountable. We have to hold people accountable. She looks at me telling me her marriage is on the rocks. It's hanging on. It's on life support. And then she stops coming to church with the family. Stepped into Moab. But you want God to come on into Moab. Moab, God's not coming into Moab with you. Do you hear me? That's what he showed. Hey, I'm not coming in with you, he says. What a wake-up call this has been for me. Is it a wake-up call? How much? How far do we have to go? What is it going to take? But let me tell you, the enemy knows what it's going to take. And he's going to push you to the edge. All it takes, dangling around the edge. You know, when God created us, he knew we needed each other. I believe that with everything in me. When I look in this room, it's the most beautiful sight. The Presbyterian, the Catholic, the Seventh-day Adventist, the Baptist, all shoulder to shoulder in this room. Do you hear me? I'm telling you, if that don't look like heaven, I don't know what is. And if we ever get to the place where I can't say, hold you accountable, then we're going to fold this thing up and go home. Because I'm here to tell you, that is what God's doing in this house. And sometimes I'm going to say, can't help you. You need to stay in that crucible. That's a hard lesson, isn't it? That's hard. It's hard to say, yeah, I'll take it. But let me tell you, you don't want the alternative. Amen? Well, I have an entire message on Ruth that you're not getting tonight because he just pretty much said you're not getting it. So you got Elimelech, okay? So I need you to go home and study Elimelech. There's one other portion and we're going to go home. But I got to tell you, he let me stew on this message for 2 weeks that you didn't get. I'm in training too, okay? And honestly, he does. And honestly, I really believe it was a test. It was a test. Because if I don't do what he said, I can't lead like he says. And I'm telling you, it won't look like him. It'll look like me. It'll look like you. It'll look like you. And I'm too old for that. Not going around that mountain again. And if he says we're just going home and we don't have a word, then we're going to go home. Isn't that the way we want to live?
And that's a wrap. Thanks again for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church audio podcast. If God has touched or impacted your life through Restoration Church, we want to hear your story. So please take a few minutes out of your day and email us your testimony at amen@r4sq.org. We pray you have a great week and God bless.